Good evening. In the news tonight, New York City launches Savings Access New York to smooth retirement for the city's aging workforce. Make the Road New York work to bring home a longtime resident grabbed by ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement, and Mexico's former president disses Donald Trump. With these and other stories in New York, I'm Linda Perry, and this is some of the news for Thursday, February 25th, 2016.
Working people of New York City should be able to retire in comfort and in the city they love.
In City Hall's Grand Rotunda late this afternoon, members of AARP stood in bright red shirts in hope that changes are in store for the city's aging workforce, a workforce heading into retirement without the savings they need to get by. Reasons are many: cutbacks in public pensions or private sector workplaces which don't offer pensions, workers who don't make enough money to save. It's a looming crisis in our city, says New York City public advocate Tish James.
30% of people near retirement have zero retirement savings. Over half of working New Yorkers do not have access to employer-sponsored retirement plans. And the issue of access is especially pronounced amongst women and communities of color. Only 38% of black employees, 30% of Latino employees, and 26% of Asian employees have access to a retirement plan through their employer, compared to 53% of white employees. And two-thirds or more of African American and Latino households have no retirement savings at all. And women, just two-thirds of the savings as men. And even when individuals have access, they often pay exorbitant fees because they lack the leverage that large investors such as the city enjoy.
Mayor Bill de Blasio.
We want to create something that's necessary but hasn't existed ever before. We're going to be the first city in the country to create a retirement savings program because our people need it right now. People in this city need that option.
New York City leaders gathered to announce Savings Access New York, a private sector retirement savings plan. Ben Max of Gotham Gazette describes how the plan would work.
De Blasio's plan, which he's working on with the other city officials, would require employers with 10 or more employees to offer voluntary access to the city-run plan. The city would cover the upfront costs of starting the plan and appoint a board to implement it, much like the city has public pension boards. De Blasio, City Council Speaker Melissa Mark-Viverito, Controller Scott Stringer, and Public Advocate Letitia James are all tackling the issue, and they're working together to put a plan forward for New York City. On the state level, Governor Cuomo has also taken notice of this issue of private sector workers and their lack of retirement security and savings, and he's called a commission together to look at the issue. Where things head from here depends partly on what happens with Governor Cuomo's commission and how quickly the city is able to move legislation through the city council and implement a program. We'll be watching at Gotham Gazette and at WBAI. For WBAI, this is Ben Max of Gotham Gazette.
In other city news, the de Blasio administration has made one of its goals to power 100% of city buildings from renewable sources of energy. In this effort, Queens Councilmember Costa Constantinides, chair of the council's Environmental Protection Committee, wants to look at the rooftops of city-owned buildings. These include public schools, hospitals, libraries, courthouses, wastewater treatment facilities, firehouses, police precincts, all 4,000 of the city-owned buildings to see if they are fit for solar panels.
Under this bill, the city will provide online reports every 2 years that identify which city-owned buildings are solar-ready. The reports will analyze the feasibility of installing rooftop solar panels, the estimated energy that will be generated, and the carbon emissions that will be reduced from those city-owned solar-ready buildings. The city will also report on the amount of solar power that was cost-effectively installed on city buildings.
The council member's bill is an effort to make New York greener and help the city reach its target of reducing carbon emissions by 80% by 2050. Another bill at the New York City Council comes from council members Helen Rosenthal and Richie Torres. Even though the ADA, the Americans with Disabilities Act, passed 26 years ago with some accomplishments for people with disabilities, Rosenthal is worried about services reaching New Yorkers with disabilities.
What I've heard over the last 2 years is that the inaccessibility to city government, what city government is supposed to provide, and civic life, going to a town hall meeting, going to a community board meeting, is so limited that people have really just given up. And my hope is that with these two bills, we will open the doors again, and that people, you know, we will take people who have given up and actually invite, now be welcoming everyone in, so that people with disabilities can have a lot more access and involvement in civic life.
One bill creates a facilitator to coordinate efforts to comply with the ADA. The other requires visibility and contact information for all events hosted by city agencies. Meanwhile, New York State's Attorney General is making it easier for people with disabilities to have access to shopping malls in New York State. An investigation revealed that individuals with disabilities are not getting equal access to indoor and outdoor common areas. Some of the largest malls throughout the state have accessibility barriers, improperly sized parking spaces, steep slopes and cross slopes at curb ramps, inadequate signage, movable objects in the path of travel, and other issues in the public hallways and restrooms. The agreement reached today will fix these problems and provide proper worker training and signage at shopping mall locations. And you're listening to the news on WBAI in New York. A New Yorker is back home after a grueling experience with ICE, Immigration Customs Enforcement. Julio Cesar is a Long Island immigrant with three children. His third child was born the day he was seized. Cesar came to the U.S. from war-torn El Salvador. That was back in 1986. He's been living here ever since. 6 weeks ago, he was apprehended over an old order of deportation from 1988. Yasmin Farhang is an immigration lawyer with Make the Road New York.
He was only 20, you know, he was only about 20 years old when he was supposed to appear in immigration court shortly after entering the United States back in San Diego. Unfortunately, he did not appear in court because we believe that he did not have proper knowledge that he was supposed to be there. And so he was ordered deported in his absence, though he was never, you know, removed from the United States. And so we've also filed a motion to the court asking that an old order of deportation be rescinded. That is currently pending. We're waiting for a decision on that. But you know, basically, I believe that because of all of the great community advocacy and political support that we received, including from Senator Gillibrand and from Congresswoman Rice in Nassau County, that finally ICE made the decision to release him during this period of time that we're continuing to litigate his case.
Now Julio Cesar, who has deep roots in Nassau County, has to walk around with an ankle monitor which registers his location, and he has to deal with regular check-ins with a deportation officer. Make the Road New York says it's looking at other cases in the city and on Long Island. Yasmin Farhang says it's really important to be informed and connected with immigration rights groups. This way they'll know about the patterns that are being seen. At minimum, they want people to feel like they're prepared, so if their loved one is at risk of deportation, they'll know what information they'll need and how to have it all in one place. That way, as soon as a loved one is picked up by ICE, they'll know who to contact and what to do.
La cosa más importante en nuestra opinión es que las comunidades inmigrantes que pueden ser a riesgo de ser arrestados por inmigración sean informados de lo que están pasando. Nosotros hemos tenido talleres de Conozca tus derechos en nuestra oficina y queremos seguir haciéndolo para que la comunidad pueda al menos ser informado y preparado en caso que hay una redada por inmigración.
Yasmin Farhang is with Make the Road New York. In other news, Vice President Joe Biden led a U.S. delegation to Mexico. Talks were held on boosting economic and commercial ties. An agreement was signed to cooperate on energy issues, conservation, and preparing for the impacts of climate change. The U.S. commended recent Mexican reforms aimed at opening its energy sector to private investment. The U.S.-Mexico talks were established by President Obama in 2013 to discuss economic growth, job creation, and competitiveness. Meanwhile, Mexico's former president, Vicente Fox, is speaking out against Donald Trump. He spoke with Univision's Jorge Ramos.
I declare, I'm not going to pay for that wall. He should pay for it. He's got the money. If you
Are you afraid that he's going to be the next president of the United States? What would that mean? What would that mean for Mexico?
No, not at all. Democracy cannot take us to crazy people that doesn't know what's going on in the world today. It worries me this last caucus in, where was it, Nevada?
Nevada.
In Nevada.
He won 44% of the Hispanic vote.
44% of Hispanics. I'd like to know who those Hispanics are, because they, again, they're followers of a false prophet. And he's going to take him to the desert. And if they think that they will benefit with an administration led by Donald Trump, they're wrong. They must open their eyes. Please, you Hispanics, Latins in U.S., open your eyes. It's not to defend our race. It's not to defend our creed. It's to defend this very same nation that is hosting you. This nation is going to fail if it goes into the hands of a crazy guy. What is Trump? He's not a Republican. Absolutely not. Those are not the Republican principles. He is not a Democrat. He's just himself. He's egocentric.
Former Mexico's President Vicente Fox with Univision's Jorge Ramos. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.